When you're a child, you often hear about family history as if it's some vague lore.
Yeah,
And
it's far away. Yeah.
it's so far away. It's in another country. You're separated by thousands of miles and, in my case, language barriers.
That's journalist and author Kat Chow, talking about what many of us are discussing at the table today, a long view of family, digging up stories that time or circumstance or shame has tried to bury. In her recent memoir, Seeing Ghosts, Kat Chow does just that, excavating the stories of her father, who's still living, and of her mother, who died when she was a teenager. And Kat's journey resonates with my own ancestral chase that I wrote about in my book, A Village with My Name. So I went to Kat's house outside of D.C., and I first met her pooch with a very proper name, Charles J. Bear, a.k.a. Charlie.
I hope no one's allergic to dogs.
We talked about family and loss and how they shape who we are. You may know that the Confucian tradition in Chinese culture makes a lot of respecting elders. So I started by asking Kat what she thinks she owes to the past.
That bigger question of what do we owe our families, ourselves, that propelled so much of this book. And once I understood that question, it helped me see that so much of my life was trying to fulfill my mother's last wish of being buried, you know, many years later after her passing with her son, my older brother, who died just shortly after birth. And as I was thinking about this and writing this book and trying to put it together, I understood my father in a different way when later in life, just in recent years, he started wanting to look for his father, who was one of, you know, many of thousands of men who left the Pearl River Delta in the 1920s or 1930s.
In southern China.
In southern China, yeah, to go to Havana, Cuba and work. And, you know, we don't know much about my grandfather, just that he worked in seven different restaurants, the story goes. He might have had a Cuban wife. And he eventually died in Cuba. And my father never knew him.
For Chinese Americans, these stories all rhyme. At least they start off in such a similar way. And that is, we were fortunate to end up in America because our parents left China during or ahead of the communists. But I guess to me, the story about your father going back to try to find his father's remains is so powerful to me. Because we hear in Chinese families all the time, right? You need to bury your ancestors the proper way. You need to go back to the village. You need to find the story. And what I experienced, because I went back with my mom to her villages and I went back with my dad to one of his villages, was how it awakened them. You went to Cuba with your sister and your father and one of these. Just what did you see in him that kind of awakened?
He came to life in such a different way than I'd ever seen. And there was this urgency. We had this, you know, very brief, maybe week-long window to go through Havana's Chinatown for any records of my grandfather. And when my father was just drawing on this set of facts that he had about his own father, his name, what year he died, I understood how little of his father he actually knew. And that opened up so many things for me. It made me realize that so much of my father's life and the trajectory of his career opening a Chinese restaurant was just trying to get closer to his father. And I found that really beautiful. And it, hopefully this doesn't give too much away about the book, but my father was able to find his father's remains in a crypt in Cuba.
It's remarkable, the discovery.
It was so powerful because I hadn't really expected my dad to be able to do that. Those boxes and those crypts were unmarked. They had Spanish names on them. We didn't know if my grandfather had a Spanish name. It felt as though the odds were really stacked against my father. And seeing that, it made me realize maybe it's time that my sisters and I come together and we figure out a way to rebury my brother's ashes with my mother and fulfill her own request that we left hanging for, you know, a decade and a half.
My book, too. I don't think all books have to end with a burial, but mine does, too.
I know. I loved it.
And it is the symbolic burial of my grandfather, who, you know, died in a labor camp in northwestern China, the Siberia of China.
Yes.
And I went and a lot of people who I didn't expect to help me, these government officials, and they tried their best. And in the end, they said, you know, you're not going to be able to find remains from the 1950s. And this one woman in a government office said, you know, so many Chinese people are after the same thing. So many Chinese people have ancestors who died in these, hardly anybody made it out of these labor camps. And she said, well, one thing I can suggest to you is, you know, go to one of these mass grave sites and just grab some of the soil. And you bring it home and you bury it. So I took her advice. I grabbed the soil and put it in a bag and brought it back to America, apparently in violation of law. And we had a ceremony in Houston where his wife, my grandmother, is buried, and we kind of sprinkled the soil on her gravesite. And again, I feel like it unlocked something in me, because growing up, I never felt like these filial responsibilities were that important. But over time, as I got older, they became important, but also to my parents and to my mother, who started to, I think, kind of articulate, you know, what her father meant to her. All these years of not seeing anything about her father, and suddenly it all started to come out, you know, and in just one of these meaningful days of my life, it was just kind of this remarkable thing to see in the family. But I want to talk about your mother. Your mom was such a jokester. I have to ask you to give me an anecdote or two, because she was such a practical joke person.
Oh my gosh, my mother was so funny. And I really wanted to capture her sense of humor, because she was, you know, more than the circumstances of her passing. My mother had a very dry, macabre sense of humor, where during thunderstorms, when we were so scared because power would cut out, she would separate herself from our, you know, kid grips, and she'd just run through the darkened house and scream, "Come and find me." And we'd have to play hide and seek. And it was terrifying. Or she would, you know, jump out of corners and just always surprise us. I really wanted to try and capture all of those moments, or as many as I could, that would bring her to life in a different way.
Well, I will always remember the bathroom stall moment in your book, where you're in one stall and your mom somehow sneaks into the stall next to you. Yes. Unbeknownst to you, and grabs your legs or whatever. It's like, what Chinese mom does that?
I know. Well, I'm on the toilet and I'm only 4 years old or so. That was really scary. But I mean, I loved also the way, Scott, you wrote about the search for your family's village, where you were driving a minivan and it seemed as though there were just so many people piling into the minivan, and you looked at this situation with such a wry sense of humor, where it was almost like this expansive, endless group of people in this car.
It was hopeless. And I guess in retrospect, right, my dad and I, we kind of knew where it was, and we were just asking people, have you heard of this village? And the name of the village we had was a pre-communist name. So this is a pre-1949 name of the place. And so finally one guy says, well, I think I've heard of it before. In this little town, we come into this town and we find this guy, and he says, well, I think I've heard of it before, but I'm not from here, so I know one of my friends will have a better answer for you. He goes, so I know a guy. And so he gets into the van, and we kind of drive down and make a couple turns, and we leave the town, and somebody else gets in. And we said, is this the village? He goes, I don't exactly know where it is either, but I know a guy. So he gets in, and we keep going, and a third guy kind of gets in the car very quietly, and the car goes quiet like a priest has just walked in. And this is the party secretary. So this is the big, well, for this little place, this big important Communist Party person. And he knows where it is. And in the end, he kind of leads us to where we need to go. And it's the great triumph. I guess for my dad, maybe it was a defining moment, because he, you know, he took pictures and he loved to talk about it. And for me, it was maybe just the start.
Something that felt conclusive to your father was really just the beginning for you.
It was.
I mean, one thing I'm so struck by, Scott, talking to you, is how our family stories are so, so, so different, right? I mean, China is a huge country, and
yeah.
I was...
Well, and your family speaks Cantonese, my family speaks Mandarin, it's a giant place.
Exactly. And I mean, I think driving, it would take 30 hours to get from my family's ancestral village to your family's ancestral village.
Yeah.
And I'm struck by, I mean, how many resonances we have in just the process of telling these very, very different stories. And I find that really profound.
Yeah, I think a lot of them start in the same place, but then they kind of take us to these different life experiences that, to me, Chinese Americans don't write enough about. And maybe the job of the Chinese diaspora, to me, is to tell its story. Especially now because, you know, China is a place that kind of matters in the world, and people have all of these assumptions, maybe dark assumptions about China. So I just applaud you for telling it. It's such a window into your own journey.
Well, thank you so much. Bravo. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it feels like a privilege and an honor to have my family trust me to tell this story, one version of it at least. And it's going to be really interesting what else I find out, you know, because this is real life. So I think that's really wonderful.
Kat Chow, great pleasure. The book is wonderful, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for your wonderful book also.